You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There are buildings all over the world that don't belong to our timeline. Cathedrals carved like they came out of a machine, built before electricity. Capitals and libraries that went up in record time with no blueprints, no photos, and no workers on record. Whole cities that were already there before their supposed founding dates. And when people started asking questions, history caught fire, literally. From Chicago to Moscow, the records burned, street levels sank, windows disappeared underground, and something called Tartaria, a civilization that once filled maps and encyclopedias, vanished from the textbooks. Not disproven, just deleted. So the question isn't, what was Tartaria? It's, why did they try so hard to make us forget it? Tartaria isn't a myth, it's a fracture. A historical blind spot wrapped in ridicule, where anything too elegant, too advanced, or too out of place gets dumped to die. It's the name they gave to the things that didn't fit. But somewhere along the way, that name became dangerous. Search it today and you'll get memes, disinformation, noise, mockery. But dig just a little deeper and what you find isn't a fantasy civilization. It's a pattern. Impossible buildings, burned archives, erased blueprints, children sent to cities with no parents, and no recorded builders. It's not a theory about lost giants or magic tech. It's a question. Who had the power to rewrite the physical world, then rewrite the memory of it too? Because if someone once built a better world, and someone else decided to bury it, that's not history, that's a cover-up. Real quick, before we go any further, this channel doesn't run on ad dollars or brand deals. It runs on you. If you want to help keep the lights on and the rabbit holes open, please hit subscribe. It's free, and yeah, it makes a huge difference for the channel. All right, let's keep going. Before we go chasing architecture and timelines, let's clear something up. Tartaria was real. Not in the hidden empire with free energy domes way, but in the way your great-great-grandparents might have read about it in school. Flip open a copy of the 1771 Encyclopedia Britannica. It's right there. Tartary, a vast country in the northern parts of Asia, bounded by Siberia on the north and west, inhabited by several nations who are all called Tartars. No mystery, no warning label. Just a massive territory recognized by historians, cartographers, and academics for centuries. You'll find it on 17th and 18th century maps. Grand Tartary, independent Tartary, Chinese Tartary, and more. But here's where it gets weird. By the early 1900s, it's gone. No more school books, no more maps, no more mentions in polite academic circles. Just silence. Like it was a bad idea someone quietly swept off the table. Today, try searching it. All you'll find is a mess of fringe speculation and YouTube thumbnail bait. It's been rebranded, on purpose, as a conspiracy punchline. But that's not how this information works. If something's truly fake, you just ignore it. You don't systematically erase it from the record. So ask yourself, why would the most documented empire on 18th century maps suddenly become a historical embarrassment? And more importantly, who made that decision? So let's be clear, we're not saying cities were built by an ancient lost empire. We're just saying a lot of our buildings don't make sense. Start with this. Massive stone structures, cathedrals, courthouses, post offices, city halls, built in the late 1800s and early 1900s, in record time with primitive equipment, and barely a paper trail. Let's talk San Francisco. After the 1906 quake and fires, it was allegedly rebuilt in under a decade. We're talking about entire districts, including government buildings that look like they were carved by Roman emperors. No detailed construction logs, no verified photos of the foundations going in, but somehow finished in time for a world fair. Chicago, same pattern. After the Great Fire of 1871, a white marble dreamland emerged, the White City for the 1893 World Columbian Exposition. Enormous domes, arches, statues, grand staircases. Again, no surviving footage of the actual construction, but detailed records of its demolition. Salt Lake City, the county building, supposedly built in just 3 years, 1891 to 1894, by a pioneer city still using wagons. Romanesque towers, hand-carved gargoyles. Done, dusted, zero verified worker lists. And St. Louis? For the 1904 World's Fair, a sprawling neoclassic complex allegedly thrown up in 5 years. Most of it was labeled temporary, but some of those temporary buildings are still standing. Here's the problem. The timelines are unrealistic. The documentation is missing. And the styles? Almost identical across cities thousands of miles apart. We're not talking about regional design trends. We're talking about the same fingerprint, the same domes, columns, facades, showing up in frontier towns decades before modern construction equipment existed. And when we do get an architect's name, sometimes it's assigned after the building was already operational, or listed under supervising engineer, not original designer. So we're left with a pattern. Buildings that looked inherited, records that don't exist, styles that appear everywhere, then vanish. We're not saying this proves anything, but if a civilization was erased, wouldn't this be exactly the kind of thing they'd forget to clean up? Up to this point, it might seem like this is just an American mystery. Chicago, San Francisco, St. Louis, Salt Lake. Same impossible buildings, same missing construction records. But then you look at Moscow, and you see the same domes. St. Petersburg, same columns. Buenos Aires, same neoclassical arches. Melbourne, same 19th century Greco-Roman mashups. New Delhi, Tashkent, Mexico City. It's not one city, it's not one empire, it's everywhere. The same architectural language, domes, spires, colonnades, triple-arched entryways, popping up across continents, supposedly built by totally disconnected cultures, all at the same time. And the official story? Most of it gets brushed off as colonial mimicry. oh, you know, those designs were just in vogue. Everyone wanted to look like ancient Rome. Okay, fair enough. But then why do we see the exact same construction and consistencies everywhere? Massive buildings going up in suspiciously short time frames. Little to no documentation. No verified photos of the earliest construction stages. Styles that vanished from use just decades later, like a whole architectural system was dropped then abruptly abandoned. And here's where it gets worse. Some of these cities were allegedly frontier towns or recently colonized when these structures appeared. Places that, on paper, shouldn't have had the resources or workforce to pull this off. So the real question becomes, were these buildings inspired by the same movement? Or were they part of the same infrastructure? Not imitations, not trends, but remnants. Reused, renovated, repackaged, then given new names and new histories once someone else took control. We're not here to say it was Tartaria, but if a global civilization was quietly dismantled, wouldn't this be exactly what it would look like? You can explain away a strange building. Maybe the photos were lost. Maybe the architect's name got erased. Maybe we just forgot how hard stonework was in 1892. But then you zoom out and you see the shape. Not from the sidewalk, from the sky. Massive, multi-pointed geometric structures. Star forts scattered across the world like someone was drawing with a compass at a global scale. Italy, France, India, Russia, Brazil, Japan, the Philippines, even the US, Fort McHenry in Baltimore, Star Fort, Palmanova in Italy, perfect nine-pointed geometry, Fort Bortange in the Netherlands, same star shape, built on water, Gwalior Fort in India, older than cannon fire, found in deserts, on mountaintops, embedded in cities. The official story? They were military forts designed for defense. The star shape helped repel artillery and give better firing angles. Cool, except some were built before gunpowder warfare was even common in the region. Some have no documented battles, garrisons, or use at all. Some are just in weird places, like swamps, islands, remote forests. And many have unknown construction dates and no original blueprints. Even crazier, the geometry is near perfect. Some use the golden ratio. Some align with cardinal directions or even ley lines. That's not tactical fort building. That's engineering ritual. So what were they? Just defense platforms? Or were they part of something older, something global? Fringe theories suggest everything from electromagnetic resonance hubs, energy grid stabilizers, acoustic amplifiers, old world infrastructure nodes for a system we've completely forgotten. Are those claims provable? No. But are the patterns worth noticing? Absolutely. You don't get this level of planetary coordination from coincidence. You don't get it from a bunch of 1600s bricklayers with horses and hand tools. So maybe the Star Fort wasn't just a military invention. Maybe it was a language, a system, one that someone didn't want us to finish reading. Let's talk about the one part of this story that makes people roll their eyes until they actually look. The mud flood. On the surface, it sounds ridiculous. Some lost global cataclysm that buried entire cities in dirt and everyone just moved the front door upstairs. Okay, but then you look at the photos. Not theory videos, not memes, photos. Buildings across the world, New York, Paris, Moscow, Toronto, Istanbul, Sydney, San Francisco, with windows perfectly intact below current street level, Entire lower floors bricked in, with decorative facades still visible. Doorways that lead to dirt walls. Staircases that once led down, now buried and sealed. Basement apartments that were clearly never meant to be basements. And here's the twist. No excavation records. No documented decision to lower the streets. And when you ask city historians, the answers are vague, conflicting, sometimes just not there. So what's the mainstream explanation? Settling, landscaping, raising city grades. Foundations were raised for flood prevention. Sure, and in many cases, that's the explanation. You raise street levels to fight floods. You bury old foundations as you rebuild. But here's the part that doesn't fit. It's global, and not just in flood-prone areas. We're talking mountain towns, high-elevation cities, places with no history of seasonal inundation. So either every city just happened to do the same thing, bury the original street level and never talk about it, or something got covered up, literally. We're not saying there was a singular event. We're not claiming the earth was washed in mud like a global power wash. But we are saying this: if you walk past a building with buried windows and bricked-in doors and you don't ask why, you're missing the entire point of history. Because whether it was bad city planning or buried infrastructure from a timeline we're not supposed to know about, it deserves a better answer than, that's just how it is. If you were trying to erase a civilization, how would you do it? What would you do? You wouldn't just bulldoze the buildings. You'd burn the records. City planning documents, architectural blueprints, census logs, maps, proof. And somehow, over the span of just a few decades, that's exactly what happened. Let's start with Chicago. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire burned over 3 square miles of the city. Gone? Records of construction, land surveys, architectural plans, and in their place, a blank slate, rebuilt in pristine neoclassical style. Now, San Francisco. 1906, an earthquake triggers a fire that ravages the downtown core. But what burned the worst? Not just homes, not just businesses, City Hall, the Hall of Records, the main library. Then there's Toronto, Boston, Moscow, St. Louis, New York, Baltimore. The list goes on. Each fire blamed on a dropped lantern, a kitchen accident, an unreasonably dry summer. But always the same pattern. Fires target core downtown zones. Archives, libraries, and old city maps incinerated. Ornate architecture rebuilt, but never quite the same. Almost no surviving photographs of what was there before. And here's what gets weird. Some cities had multiple fires in short succession, each one finishing off whatever had survived the last. Boston had fires in 1872 and 1874. Toronto burned in 1849 and again in 1904. Baltimore in 1873, then again in 1904, all taking out civic centers, old infrastructure, and again, the records. So we ask, was this really just bad luck? Or were these fires erasing something no one was supposed to preserve? We're not saying they were all orchestrated, but when the same buildings burn in the same pattern in the same decades, you start asking better questions. Especially when what's rebuilt doesn't match, what's missing can't be explained, and what's left feels like stage dressing on a set we never built. If you burn down a city and if you buried its foundations, who do you bring in to take over the ruins? What if the answer was children? Between 1854 and 1929, over 250,000 1,000 orphans and street kids were packed onto trains and shipped across the United States. It was called the Orphan Train Movement, and on paper, it sounds like a charitable solution to urban poverty. But scratch the surface, and the questions come fast. Where did all these orphans come from? Why so many, so fast? And why were they being dropped off in cities already full of buildings, but mysteriously lacking historical photos or verified construction records? It wasn't just in the US either. Canada had its own orphan relocation program. So did Australia. Even parts of Russia and Eastern Europe ran child redistribution initiatives under different names. And in every case, the kids were placed in cities with strange architecture, buildings that predated them. No records of who built them, no photos of them being built, just giant empty buildings in a shipment of orphans. Here's what else doesn't add up. In many US census records from the late 1800s, entire blocks show adult-to-child ratios that make no sense. Towns with hundreds of ornate buildings and a population of almost entirely children. Even worse, some of the relocation records don't list the names of the children, just numbers. Was it a resettlement project, a labor program, or something darker? We're not saying these kids were part of a conspiracy, but we are saying they may have been dropped into one. Because if you just erased the civilization and needed to repopulate its cities with people who'd never ask questions, you wouldn't bring in historians. You bring in orphans. Alright, so let's say you start getting curious. You see the old maps, the buried windows, the photos of kids standing in front of 10-ton buildings no one can explain. So you type one word into Google, Tartaria, and suddenly the entire internet gets itchy. Google autocomplete won't finish the word. Reddit mods delete the thread within minutes. YouTube videos on the topic don't just get demonetized, they get buried. No recommendations, no home feed, just silence. In fact, this video will likely get shadow banned, but we'll see. Even Wikipedia immediately slaps a warning label on anything remotely Tartaria related. Pseudo history, conspiracy, debunked fringe theory. But hold up, search flat earth and you'll get documentaries, debunks, comedy videos, news coverage, a full menu. Search Tartaria, you get shallow explainer pages, strawman hit pieces, or archived posts with comment sections disabled. So let's ask the obvious question. If this theory is so dumb, why silence it instead of debunk it? Flat Earth gets laughed out of the room. Tartaria gets algorithmically erased. And we're not even saying Tartaria was a real empire. We're saying, why does this specific topic trigger so many blacklists? Why are search engines, forums, and content platforms treating it like a virus? Could it be because it's wrong? Sure. Or maybe it's because the theory gets too close to something disruptive. Architecture timelines that don't line up. Fires that shouldn't have happened. Children resettling empty cities with no records of who built them. A buried infrastructure that no one wants to explain. It's not dangerous because it's false. It's dangerous because it invites people to look again. And in a world where control depends on narrative lock, even the wrong questions can become the right kind of threat. So the algorithm doesn't debate you, it just turns down the volume. Let's not be cute about it. If Tartaria, or even some sliver of what people think Tartaria was, actually existed, they wouldn't just quietly forget about it. They'd nuke it from the record. Because this isn't just about old buildings. It's about what those buildings imply. Open access energy. Self-sustaining cities. Infrastructure not owned by anyone. A world where humans didn't need constant upgrades, subscriptions, or middlemen. That's not just inconvenient to the modern world, that's game-breaking. Imagine a civilization where power was vibrational, not electrical. Buildings doubled as health tools, resonant frequency chambers, not concrete boxes. Architecture was functional, not decorative. And the whole thing worked without corporations, without fossil fuels, without billionaires. Now ask yourself, would that system be allowed to survive into the 21st century? Of course not. You can't privatize it. You can't monetize it. And you sure as hell can't sell it back to people monthly with firmware updates. So what do? You torch the archives. You bury the tech. You rebrand the buildings as Beaux Arts or Greco-Roman Revival. You tell people it was built by orphans and horse carts. And then you laugh it off as a YouTube conspiracy theory. Because if anyone ever asks the real question, what if these cities were never built, they were found, you've already trained the world to roll its eyes. It's not about hiding fantasy, it's about hiding a viable alternative. And if Tartaria was even 10% real, that's 10% more than the system can afford. Let's talk about what these buildings might have actually done. And no, I'm not talking about free Wi-Fi pyramids or magic windows to Atlantis. I'm talking about architectural function, not decoration. Because there's a theory that refuses to die, and it goes like this. What if the old world didn't use electricity the way we do? What if it was built into their buildings? Let's break that down. First off, domes, spires, copper rooftops, lightning rods, quartz floors, cathedral organs. They're everywhere in Tartaria-linked architecture. And they're not random. They're conductive, resonant, symmetrical, aligned to magnetic ley lines. These buildings look less like places to worship and more like machines designed to move energy. Some claim they were part of an electromagnetic grid pulling atmospheric energy down into local systems. Others say the structures amplified acoustic resonance, vibrating at healing or meditative frequencies. Some speculate they generated power through earth batteries, buried systems that tapped into telluric currents. It sounds wild, I know, but you can find engineering patents from the 1800s that mirror this logic. You can find cathedrals that amplify whispers across entire domes without electronics. You can find organs that vibrate glass and metal at frequencies now studied in sonic healing. So, what were these buildings doing? Honestly, we don't know. But the design repetition across continents, the materials used, and the locations chosen, it's enough to make you stop and ask, were these structures part of a system that's been erased? Not because it failed, but because it worked too well. And here's where it gets eerie. After the fires, after the floods, after the orphan trains, what replaced those buildings were square glass boxes, industrial zoning, EMF-saturated grids, a power structure that runs on wires, gas, and debt. It's like the old system was vibrational, harmonic, symbiotic, and we replaced it with stress. Could that all be coincidence? Sure. But even if this theory is half wrong, why are we more comfortable mocking it than testing it? Why don't we even try to build buildings that do more than just keep the rain out? What if they used to? Alright, so let's talk about where this is all going. Because if Tartaria, whatever it was, represented an open, harmonic, human-centered world, then smart cities are the exact opposite. And I don't mean smart like your toaster sending memes to your fridge. I mean centralized, wired to hell, digitally sealed, permission-based living. They're not building cities. They're building operating systems with housing. Everything in a smart city runs through a centralized nervous system. Your movement, tracked. Your consumption, measured. Your communication, filtered. Your access, conditional. No card, no app, no biometrics. Cool. Hope you enjoy that curb. These places are beautifully efficient until you ask the wrong question. Now contrast that with the buildings we just spent the last 10 sections talking about. Those structures had massive open courtyards, towering resonant chambers, giant windows facing the sun, freestanding public monuments that didn't sell anything. They weren't watching you, they were inviting you. Old world cities felt built for the human spirit. Smart cities feel built for whoever holds the remote. And here's where it gets disturbing. Some smart cities, they're being constructed on top of the exact same zones where those grand old buildings were demolished, leveled, or buried. Do you think that's a coincidence? Maybe. Or maybe it's a reset, not just of architecture, but of consciousness. We went from cathedrals to resonance to data centers with windows. From buildings that elevated to buildings that interrogate. And the wild part? It's not subtle. You can feel it in the bones of a city. Walk into a train station built in the 1890s and you have marble, arches, hand-carved everything. Then walk into a new smart terminal. One says, "Welcome, human." The other says, "Please scan your retina." So, if Tartaria, real or myth, represented some kind of sacred design language, smart cities are the autocorrect version. Sterile, flat, corporate, and built for optimization, not all. Because all doesn't scale. All right, let's take a breath. Because here at Divergent Files, we don't do fantasy hour. We don't wave incense around the mystery and hope it smells like truth. We investigate, we debunk, we document. So let's break this thing apart. Let's debunk what deserves it. A worldwide Tartarian empire? No. There's no hard evidence for a unified global civilization called Tartaria ruling the world with free energy and magic domes. No currency, no confirmed language, no consistent historical footprint across empires. It's not there. And if it was, somebody would have found it at least one shovel full of it by now. Free energy harvested from the sky? Also, nope. There's zero solid replicable scientific data to support the idea that these buildings generated wireless power using atmospheric electricity. The concept is fascinating. But if it worked, we'd be seeing Tesla towers all over Silicon Valley. Instead, we get overpriced chargers and exploding batteries. Global mud floods? Some photos are strange, but you can't point at every half-buried building and scream ancient cover-up when land shifting, foundational settling, and city planning errors explain 90% of it. Dirt moves, roads get raised, water tables change. That's not suppression, that's gravity and poor drainage. But here's what can't be dismissed. Tartary was real. You can find it in encyclopedias, maps, and diplomatic records from the 1700s and 1800s. It was a catch-all for Central and Northern Asia, used for centuries. Then it got erased from textbooks, from search engines, from the historical conversation. Entire cities burned to the ground and their archives with them. Chicago, San Francisco, Boston, Toronto, Moscow, always the same pattern. Sudden catastrophe, buildings vanish, records go up in smoke, restoration begins, but with no blueprint trail. And then there's the architecture. We're not saying it's proof of a lost super civilization. We're saying it shows up across continents. Built with tools nobody can find. Time frames that don't add up. And in many cases, no photos of it under construction. That's not a conspiracy. That's just weird as hell. And weird deserves investigation. So, our final stance? We're not here to sell you Tartaria as a lost utopia. We're here to ask why an entire piece of documented history got memory hold so hard it's now a punchline in mainstream media. And we're here to ask why certain buildings, events, and disasters look exactly like a cover-up, even when you're trying not to see it. So no, we're not chasing a fantasy empire. We're chasing the deletion of something very real. What if someone once built a world we were never meant to remember? Not a myth, not a fairy tale, a real physical world with towers that hummed, streets that healed, structures that sang to the body, to the sky, to whatever part of us still remembered how to listen. And then one day it was gone, not crumbled, not conquered, erased, buried under the lie that this grind, this noise, this broken architecture of wires and rent and asphalt was always the plan. They didn't just take the buildings. They took the context. They took the meaning. They made it so we couldn't even ask the right questions without sounding insane. Because when you erase the past, you don't just control the future. You rig reality itself. And maybe that's the point. Not to hide something magical, but to make this version of the world feel like the only version that ever could have existed. The loneliness, the noise, the dependency. They're not bugs, they're features. So if you've ever felt like something was off, like something beautiful was missing, maybe it was, and maybe it's still under your feet. Hey, if your brain feels like it just got hit with a tuning fork, welcome to Divergent Files. I'm Ralph, no sponsors, no gatekeepers, no corporate lifeline. Just one guy chasing the stories they were way too eager to bury and figuring it all out alongside you. So if you want more deep dives like this one, more evidence, more fire, more truth that doesn't flinch, hit subscribe. Seriously, that button down there, it's how this channel survives in a system that doesn't want it to. And if you want to go deeper into the raw stuff, the uncut chaos, the topics too radioactive for the main channel, join us on Patreon. Just $3 a month keeps this thing alive and gets you early access, behind the scenes breakdowns, and extended episodes. That's over at patreon.com/divergentfiles. Oh, and one more thing. We're not just here on YouTube anymore. Divergent Files Project Podcast is now live on every major platform. And if you've got a theory, a whisper, a piece of the puzzle, drop it in the comments. I read every single one. Your idea might just be what we chase down next. This world is weird. The past, even weirder. And the future, well, that's still negotiable. Thanks for watching. Thanks for showing up. And as always, you are truly appreciated.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.